So last week, I talked about the keys of the kingdom, and I'm going to continue on that this week. I was actually talking to Richard Marenghi, and he said, well, what do you have as the keys? And I listed the ones I had, and he said, what about prayer? And I go, well, yeah, that's a key too. But anyway, so today I'm going to be talking about prayer and command and declaration and confession. So, as I mentioned last week, Matthew 16, 19, Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. And I pointed out that that's not, you know, binding things from people to people or any of that kind of stuff. What it is basically bringing the kingdom to earth, because Jesus said whatever is prohibited in heaven, we're supposed to prohibit it on earth. And whatever is permitted or allowed in heaven, it's our job, our role as Christians, as those carrying the anointing of God, to allow it in on earth. So the keys of the kingdom are used to bring heaven to earth by prohibiting what heaven prohibits and by permitting what heaven permits. So last week I mentioned some keys. Now you all can probably find more. It's not, you know, this is not an exhaustive teaching. Anyway, so some of the keys that I mentioned are the keys I mentioned last time were the Word of God, the blood of Jesus, faith, the name of Jesus, the infilling, or the Holy Spirit coming upon us in power, and love. Love being what is really the important thing, because it alone does not fail. So today I want to talk about two more keys. They're kind of grouped together: prayer and command, declaration and confession. Okay, in my humble opinion, prayer is talking with God. It's having a chat with God. Yes, you have things that you ask for, and you just listen and you talk and you tell him how, you know, how much you love him. You tell him, you give him praise and honor, and you just want to be around him, and you pour out your heart to him. In Matthew 17:14-21, we have the account, I'm going to read this from the Passion Bible. We have the account of the father who brought his son to the disciples because the son had a devil that would throw him into the fire and throw him into the water. And the disciples tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to get rid of this devil that was bothering this child. And they couldn't do it. So the man comes up to Jesus, kneels down before him, and says, Lord, please show your tender mercy toward my son. He has a demon who afflicts him. He has epilepsy, and he suffers horribly from seizures. He often falls into the cooking fire or into the river. And I brought him to your followers, but they weren't able to heal him. Bummer, huh? I mean, like, how do we feel when we pray for somebody and nothing happens? Jesus replied, and this is an interesting statement. Jesus replied, where is your faith? Can't you see how wayward and wrong this generation is? How much longer do I stay with you and put up with your doubts? Bring your son to me. Then Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was instantly healed. It's interesting, if you look up this Greek word, it means to forbid. So what is it the keys of the kingdom are to do? Forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven. So in rebuking the devil, he was forbidding the devil to have a hold on this boy. And the boy was instantly healed. Now later on, the disciples came to Jesus because they wondered, what were we doing wrong? Why weren't we able to rid this child of the demon? So they asked him, why couldn't we cast out the demon? And he told them, it was because of your lack of faith. Like, slap us in the face, Lord. It was because of your lack of faith. Now notice, Jesus isn't condemning them. He's teaching them. And so he follows it with the following teaching. He said, it's because of your lack of faith. I promise you, if you have faith inside of you, no bigger than the size of a small mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move away from here and go over there, and you will see it move. There is nothing you couldn't do. So he's saying all things are possible with faith. Remember, he said that before. All things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible with faith. He said, you just need an itty bitty bit. And then he went on to say in verse 21, but this kind of demon is cast out only through prayer and fasting. Now, he's not making a decree or saying, now, in order to cast out demons, you must have a time of prayer and fasting prior to. Now, how many of you have ever been called up and say, hey, we're going to go cast a demon out of somebody, so I want you to pray and fast before we do this? You know, it's not a formula. It's a way of life. Okay, what's he saying here? Remember before he said it was because your lack of faith. So the answer to a lack of faith is prayer and fasting. It's spending more time with God. We know that Jesus constantly was spending time in prayer, in communion, in communication with his Father. Amen? So Jesus is saying, hey, faith grows. It grows as you spend more time with God. Now, we know that. Now, there are two things we see in here. We see the rebuke or the forbidding, which was spoken to the demon to get out of the boy. And we see the necessity of prayer in order to have the faith to rebuke and to forbid demon activity in people. So there are two aspects to healing and delivering people. There's the speaking and there's the prayer ahead of time. All right, I believe the point here, again, regarding prayer and fasting is we need to be in communication with God 24/7. We need to know who we are, who he is in us. Amen. The measure of our faith will dictate and determine the measure of the kingdom and the authority that of the kingdom that dwells within us, that we walk in. I'm going to read that again. The measure of our faith will dictate and determine the measure of the kingdom and the authority of the kingdom that we walk in. So our ability to walk in the kingdom can continue to grow as our faith continues to grow by us continuing to spend time before God and believing what he said. So what is the purpose of prayer in the kingdom? Well, I've mentioned some. It's to get close to God, because prayer, obviously, is that time of communion with God. It's talking to God. Now, we also see what Jesus taught the disciples when they asked him, teach us how to pray. And I'm going to read this, like I've done before, from the Passion Translation. This is what we call the Lord's Prayer. It was a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, his followers, to pray. So he says, our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Ooh, that's good. May the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. That's what it is to have his name be holy. Hallowed be thy name. Manifest your kingdom realm. We're supposed to pray for that. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is fulfilled in heaven. We're supposed to pray for that. Give us today the bread of tomorrow. Forgive us the wrongs we have done as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Rescue us every time we face tribulation and set us free from evil. For you are the King who rules with power and glory forever. Amen. So, pray for more of God to invade your life. Pray for heaven to come to earth through you. Pray for forgiveness when needed, and for provision, because he said he'll give. And be thankful and glorify God for who he is and what he does for each and every one of us. And our attitude in prayer, as we know, should be one of faith. The kingdom of heaven is faith-based. Amen? Faith-based. It's not a hoping base, and it's certainly not a legal base. It's a faith base, a relationship base. Matthew 21:22, Jesus said, "All things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Now, Cheryl just gave a testimony of how on Wednesday we all prayed that someone would come with a cash offer. And it happened. She got the call. I don't know if she got the call yesterday, last night. Thursday. Wow. The day after. Wow. Cool. So we see the things that we believe. Prayer that is answered was prayer that's prayed in faith. We know prayer works. Amen. We know it. So let's pray for even more stuff. Let's pray for the kingdom to come to earth here and through us and so forth. Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. I was reading this yesterday and go, oh, I never really noticed that before. John 11, verses 20 to 22. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Now, remember the story of Mary and Martha. Mary stayed at his feet, and Martha was in the kitchen wondering where Mary was, you know. But this time, Mary went out to meet Jesus. Martha went out to meet Jesus. Mary stayed at the house. Verse 21, Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Look at that. She's seen Jesus and how he operated during his time of those three and a half years or so. And she saw that every time Jesus needed something, God the Father provided it. And so she says, "I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you." Did you know that Jesus said the same thing to us? Yeah, you know that. John 14, verses 12 to 14. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and even greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Let's start having the same kind of faith in God using us that Martha had in God using Jesus. Okay? Pray it in if you have to, but start seeing yourself like what Jesus said you are and what you have at your disposal, which is answered prayer. Ask me anything and it will be given. And then again in John 15, 7 to 8, "If you abide in me," he was talking about the vine and the branches. That's an intimate connection. The one doesn't live without the other. Okay, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." You want to operate in kingdom reality? Ask for it. You want to operate in signs and wonders? Ask for it. Spend time with God. Okay. "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Remember last week I was talking about the key of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses, which means you will receive power to prove who I am. So here we have that the fruit we bear when we ask for anything we wish and it is done for us, that is fruit which proves that we are followers of Christ. Five times in the book of John, Jesus stated that we would receive what we ask for. It's amazing. In John 16, he said it three times. Three times he kept repeating it. Do you think he meant it? Okay. I'm going to read John 16, verses 23 and 24. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, "For here is eternal truth." You know, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, here is eternal truth. When the time comes that I leave you, that I'm gone, you won't need to ask me for anything. but instead you will go directly to the Father and ask him for anything you desire, and he will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Wow. You know, have you ever wondered, am I supposed to pray to Jesus or pray to God? You know what? Don't matter. He said in verse 24, he continues, until now you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name. Whoa. But now you can ask him and keep on asking him, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for. And then your joy will have no limits. Oh, yeah, we know how happy we get when we pray and God answers. He said, just ask and keep on asking. Keep on asking. Whenever you got something you want, just ask Father God for it, and he'll give it to you, and you'll be a very happy camper. You'll be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? And then in verses 26 and 27, Jesus says, you'll ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf. In other words, there's not a middleman. We go direct. We go directly to God. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believe that I came forth from the Father. So what's an example of how to pray? Well, one that I got is when the apostles were praying. This was after Peter and James, I believe it was, got arrested because the guy at the steps to the temple, who was, I think, born lame, Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but that which I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Well, the authorities, of course, didn't like that, and they arrested them and told them, don't ever speak again in that name. So that's why last week I said the name of Jesus is very powerful, you know, and people will try to get us to stop you, and they already have, amen, in this country, to stop using the name of Jesus. So in Acts 4, verse 24, the disciples told, or Peter and James told everybody what had happened. And then in verse 24, and when they had heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. That's basically what is happening when people say you can't use the name of Jesus unless you use it in vain. You know? So here the disciples pray, they bring before God, they quote scripture that is in connection with what they're going to pray about. And in verse 27 it says, for truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur, which was that he be crucified. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God in boldness. Now that's a good prayer. You know, I mean, you don't have to say it like, you don't have to say it like that, but praying for God to give us boldness, praying for God to confirm his word with the signs following, praying against what has been happening, for example, in this nation with political correctness and not being allowed to speak the name of Jesus. So pray and ask for boldness. Ask for healing power, ask for more authority, or to walk in the authority that has already been given to us. Ask for God to be big inside of you and the Holy Spirit to rest upon you. There's so much we can ask for that will further the kingdom of God on earth. Okay, now there's another thing in the way that we pray for people, which is really commanding. And commanding in prayer, of course, just like any prayer, is to be done in faith. Examples in the ministry of Jesus, and of course he is our example, he cast out the demons with a rebuke. In other words, he forbid them to operate in earth because they're not allowed to operate in heaven. You know, devil was kicked out, right? He said, "Peace, be still," to the storm. He didn't pray, "Oh, Father God, please stop this storm." He spoke peace to the storm. He told the man with the withered hand, "Stretch forth your hand." He spit on soil, placed it in the blind man's eye, and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He told the lame man by the pool of Bethesda, it was a different lame man, "Take up your bed and walk." And he cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, is Jesus praying during these times, talking to God? I bet you he is. He is asking him, okay, what do you want done? How do you want it done? You see, when we have people come to us who want to be healed or delivered, we need to know God wants to do that. And we need to pray and ask him, how do I bring the healing and deliverance to this person? Because I don't know that Jesus ever did the same thing twice. He didn't spit on the dirt and put mud salve in every blind person's eye that came to him. Some he just said, you know, hey, be healed. You know, so that's a big place where prayer comes in. Always being in communion with the Holy Spirit to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and to whom to do it. Because Jesus didn't heal everybody, but everybody that came to him, he healed. I've said this many times. Everybody that came to them, he healed. And everybody that he was sent to, I mean, the one man at the pool of Bethesda, he was healed. The dead boy at the widow's funeral was raised from the dead because God sent him to do that. So when God sends you to go pray somewhere, sends you to go speak to somebody, know that he is giving you the power and the authority to get her done, to have the healing flow, to have the deliverance come. Bill Johnson made a comment the other day. He says, now, if you kept asking your boss to do the things he told you to do, how long do you think you'd keep your job? I heard that, and I thought that was good. So don't always ask God to do it. Lord, please heal this person, you know, who's standing right in front of you. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do I pray? Or do I speak? Do I command? Do I spit in their eye? Do I do this? Do I do that? The Lord, I think I may have told you this a long time ago, when I was teaching the Signs and Wonders class, and it was Nicole Soto. Nicole was standing in front of me. You know, at the very end, I just laid hands on everybody. And Nicole actually got in the line 3 times. And it was interesting because the Lord had me pray for her eyes, her mouth, and her ears. And so I'm here, and the Lord says, spit on her tongue. I'm here, what? So I said, Lord, is it okay if I spit on my hand and then touch her tongue? And he said, yes. And it was hilarious. I did that. I told her, put out your tongue. You know, I did that, and I touched her tongue. And she started spinning around like a top, and then poof. And then she comes up again, and the Lord says, spit on your fingers and stick them in her ear. Yeah. Okay. And she had another episode of running around and falling. And I don't remember what it was for her eyes, you know, but, you know, okay, I asked permission to do it a little bit differently, which thank you, Jesus, that you let me. But, you know, he has us, there are times when he wants us to do something that is totally weird, you know, and no, I will never be like the prophet who laid naked in front of the I'm here. No. You know, but there are times when he will, I mean, what, Smith Wigglesworth kicked the baby off of the stage like it was a football, and through the air, the baby gets healed. Can you imagine? Now, don't do that unless God tells you to. You had better know the voice of God. So, if you keep asking your boss to do the things he told you to do, how long do you think you will keep your job? We need to pray for boldness and for understanding and for instruction on how to pray for people, how to deliver people, how to heal people. Now, here's an interesting one. I mean, this is just kind of interesting. Remember Jesus said, whatever you say and believe, you'll get? Well, one day he was hungry and saw a fig tree. And he walked over to the fig tree hoping to find figs. And there weren't any. So what does Jesus do? He says, no longer shall there ever be any fruit from you. I mean, was that a necessity in the kingdom of God? Well, probably not. I mean, yes, he used it to teach his disciples. But, you know, when we start walking in the power and authority of the kingdom, we better be careful what we say. Amen? Lord, put a watch on my mouth. Let me only say that which is edifying, only that which comes from your heart. So, Jesus, they say, cursed the fig tree. And at once the fig tree withered. And the disciples go, oh my goodness, how did this happen? And Jesus answered them and said, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Wow. Okay. Now we all know the scripture in James. Is anyone sick among you? Well, let me stop. Is anyone among you suffering? Like whatever it may be, persecution, suffering with bills, suffering with mice, suffering with whatever. He said, then you better pray. If you're suffering with something, you know, you better pray. And he says, are you cheerful? Well, then by golly, sing praises. Yeah. Hallelujah. Then he says, is anyone among you sick? Call for the elders. You know, do you know that there are times when you get so sick, you just don't want to think about anything, let alone praying in faith. So call for the elders of the church. And they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Why is that tagged on? Well, sometimes it's because we have committed sins that the door is open for sickness and disease. Not all the time. Not all the time. Sometimes we're stupid. Stand out in the rain on a cold winter day and wonder why you get pneumonia. And sometimes it's just the way the fallen world has infected everything. But he does say that the sins will be forgiven. He didn't say to pray that the sins are forgiven. He said they're just going to be when you start in faith praying for healing. Wow, cool. And then we know this verse, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And he gives then the example of Elijah, who was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly or fervently that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, the account of this is in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. And Elijah came to King Ahab and said, hey, bud, you bad boy. And I'm telling you right now, it's not going to rain until I say so. Whoa! Elijah knew the authority he was given because God sent him on a mission. And then 3.5 years later, the Lord says, go tell Ahab it's going to rain. Well, in between going to Ahab, it's kind of funny because he goes to a servant and says, tell Ahab I'm here. And he says, are you crazy? I like my life. I'm not going to tell, oh, Ahab, by the way, Elijah's here. He says, it's okay. Go tell him I'm here. And he doesn't say immediately, hey, it's going to rain. He calls together all the prophets of Baal. And he makes a show of the power of God and makes Baal and his prophets look like idiots. I mean, I would love to have seen that. Wow. And then after killing them all, and Israel saying, we're going to serve God, we're going to serve God, he said, okay, Ahab, you better get going, it's going to rain. And make sure you get out of here with your chariots, because it's going to rain so much the mud's going to stop you. And God's spirit came upon Elijah, and he ran faster than the chariots. And then, you know, it's just, this was done at the prompting of the Lord. I think we all know that when God tells us to do something, we have excitement, because, ooh, that means it's going to happen. And a little trepidation, because we're, oh, I got to go out and do something that I don't want to do. Well, you want to do it. You want to do it, but there's that little thing that says, will it really work? Will I look like a fool? You know, those are the things we all probably have, especially if it's a stranger he's sending us to. You know, see that guy over there? I want you to go and, you know, pray for him and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, we don't know how to do that. You know, so start imagining things. How would you approach a total stranger to pray for them at the bidding of God? You can go and say, you know, it depends on what God's told you. Hi, the Lord talks to me sometimes, and he asked me to come over and pray for you. Is that okay? You know, there are lots of ways. And we will have joy when we see God work. Amen. Amen. Okay, the last topic, which is a short one, is confession, also called profession. Romans 10, 8 through 10. We all know this. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. You know, assuming you've read it. You know, but that's the whole thing, to get the word inside of us so that it's in our heart and can come out of our mouth. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he makes confession, resulting in salvation. Confession means to say the same thing as. So to say the same thing that God says. And when we say the same thing that God says, his salvation comes. And that's not just salvation of you get born again, but salvation we know is spirit, soul, and body. Perfect health, perfect everything. So the word confess is from the Hebrew word homologeo, which means homo, same as, and logeo, to speak. So speak the same as. Speak what God says. Speak what God says about you. Speak it over yourself. Speak what he says about his body, his bride. Speak it. You know, right now, we're not the spotless bride. We're not even fitly joined together. We're kind of spastic. We're kind of sick. We're kind of like, who would want to marry you? You know? But that's not the way. Bringing all your issues with you. You know? But that's not the way God sees his bride. So we need to be in agreement with God, who says, you know, and speak out. In the name of Jesus and by the word of God, God says his bride will be spotless and without blemish. So I speak to the bride of Christ in the United States, or in Tuolumne County, or in the state of California, however far you want to go. I speak that every person will be where they're supposed to be, and there will be no division. And however you are led to confess and to proclaim, speak about yourself. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's nothing wrong with speaking that over yourself, but let me say this. It's not just because you say it that it's going to happen. We have a part to play in all of this. We have a part to play in the body of Christ becoming the spotless bride, starting with ourselves becoming spotless and not speaking against one another. We all know this. Confess or proclaim, profess his provision over your life, because he said he would provide. Confess the truth about him being the healer, redeemer, meeting our every need, and so on, and who you are in him. Whatsoever I ask in the name of Jesus, in accordance with his ways and his will, because I am in him and he is in me, whatever I ask, my Father in heaven will give me. I will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I will heal the lame and the leper and, you know, whatever. Start seeing that over yourself and start reminding yourself that God said he will answer your every prayer. Believe.
Believe!
And the last thing I want to suggest is making declarations over our city, our state, the nation, and the world. I mean, I don't listen to the news. I think I heard 2 or 3 days later about the fires. And then, started speaking, started praying, starting to ask the Lord to protect, and speaking for the fire to be contained and whatever, the weather to change. You know, what was it when they had the hurricanes? I think, Cheryl, I think you posted something. You know, everybody, you know, Christians included, some were saying it was God, and it's like, I don't think so. If it was God, why did Jesus rebuke the storm? But, you know, we need to rebuke storms that are going beyond the natural wind of a high and low pressure system hitting one another. When it starts becoming destructive, it's no longer God. So we need to stand up and speak against those things and speak Jesus is Lord over our community, our county, our state, our nation. Start speaking things into the heavens, because, you know, the angels need something to work on. Yes. And they listen to the voice of his servants to see, oh, we need to go take care of this, and we need to fight the battle in the heavenly so that this will become a Christian county or a Christian state or a Christian nation or whatever it is, so that the laws of God will be those that are followed, not the laws of man. Whatever it is, we need to start proclaiming. We need to start confessing, speaking into the heavens, speaking into the atmosphere, changing all those other words that have been spoken. Because we know words have effect, amen? Amen? We know it. So let's start negating all those words that are not of heaven with the words that are heaven, because we have been given the keys of the kingdom, and we are to allow and bring to earth that which God allows and has in heaven, and we are to say, uh-uh, to those things that are not of heaven. And we have the authority because we've been given the keys, and keys mean authority. So know who you are. Know the keys that you have and what you're supposed to do with them, and just start doing it. Start doing it. Start doing it. You can start in your prayer closet. You can start on the ranch talking, you know, no one's going to hear you here and the cows don't care. You know, whatever. You can start speaking it under your breath as you're walking around in the grocery store or in Walmart or wherever. You know, the other day I had the thought, when I was thinking about this, I was going, oh my goodness, if I were to walk into a grocery store and the Lord said, I want you to announce that God is here to heal, it would be, oh man. I mean, I gotta suck it up and go, God's here to heal. Then go, louder. God's here to heal. Louder. You know, I mean, we got to think about things like this and ask God, give me grace. Lord, make me so enveloped in you that I don't even know I'm in the grocery store screaming at the top of my lungs that God is here to heal. You know, or you can go down every aisle. God's here to heal. And go to the next person. God's here to heal. You know, hey, look, you know, bold as a lion. Help me, Lord. Help us, Lord. Amen. Amen. The keys of the kingdom belong to you and to me. So let's get the guts to use them. Amen. Amen.